Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Hi, my name is Ann McMillan. I am the master wealth builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses and communities. I'm excited to be here with my co-host Dan Calloway and Steve White, and every week I say the exact same thing. We are going to have a phenomenal show because we have a phenomenal guest. And our guest today is none other than the Honorable Douglas A. Lawson, City of Riviera Beach Council person, Chair Pro Tem for District 5 at large. I am still convinced that after reading the book, Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, that we are leaving our diamond mines in our own backyard as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us in our hometown from whence we come. Therefore, we are calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Our vision is to shed a brighter light on the wonderful, smart, talented individuals from our great city of Riviera Beach. So, Dan Calloway, Steve White, we can get the show started with our awesome guest, Mr. Douglas Lawson. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
My number one politician, in not only in the city of Riviera Beach, is in the county, is Doug Lawson. Mr. Lawson, would you just give us a brief a part of your early life, elementary, junior high, high school, and on, and how you got into your business of a CPA? Would you do that?
Absolutely, Mr. Calloway, Ms. McNeil, Mr. White, thank you all so much. I'm humbled to be able to participate in this show. And looking back at my upbringing, never thought that I'd be able to be a part of something this great, this grand, to even say that, you know, I am Riviera Beach. It's heartfelt because I went to school at Watkins Middle School. I actually was in the same class with the great Senator Bobby Powell. He jokes with me all the time saying that he's a little step ahead of me now because we're in the same grade, but he's a great street senator, but he was one that motivated and encouraged me when I met him in Tallahassee at a gala, a Black Caucus gala, to kind of serve our community. After Watkins, I went on to Suncoast Community High School, where I graduated International Baccalaureate and got a full scholarship to go to the University of Central Florida. One of the big things that I actually wasn't able to do, or that some advisors didn't actually direct me into the path of historically Black colleges and universities. Because at Suncoast at that time, a lot of the recruits were coming from UF, from Florida State, from UCF, and they were literally poaching some of the amazing talents right out of our community. And I can look back and say, wow, I had a great opportunity to go to school for free, not putting an additional burden on my parents. But at the same time, I missed a lot of the opportunity because throughout my college years, I would always catch myself traveling to BCU, which was 20, 30 minutes away from the university, and then driving up to Tallahassee on a whim just to go visit FAMU because I was always drawn to those type of communities, to that type of environment. But I was honored to actually graduate from the University of Central Florida with my undergraduate and my master's, and then getting into the corporate world as a business analyst, where I spent 2 years working for a major corporation called Hewitt & Associates, who did the benefits packages for all the Fortune 400 and 500 companies. Those 2 years were great because it allowed for me to kind of expand my brand, to obtain my real estate license, to obtain some of the certifications and trades that my father pushed me to do, because he was a traditional entrepreneur. Growing up, they had to make a way. My family, I'm a first-generation American born here. My family were immigrants from Jamaica that came over, and I was born in New York. We moved down when I was probably 5 years old to Palm Beach County. But they pushed for trades and entrepreneurship. They always said education is number one, but you always want to have some options, a plan B, something also to fall back on in case anything else fails. So that's why he encouraged me to get my real estate license, and 16 years later, that's still my bread and butter predominantly. When he encouraged me to do this after those 2 years in Orlando after graduation, I moved back home to help take care of my family and realized that I missed being a part and situated in my city and in my community. So about 9 years ago, I opened up a business called Infinity Taxes and Beyond, which teaches financial literacy and education. And I said, why not bring it back to the community that it all started in, right here in my own city that I grew up in? So that was my goal, and that's why I've been in business for the last 7 years on the corner of Blue Heron and Broadway, and been in the real estate tax business and credit restoration for the last 17 years. So that's just a little bit of background, Mr. Calloway, and how I actually got to where I am today.
Well, that's wonderful, and I'm impressed, and I'm quite sure Ann and Steve also. Okay, now here's the big part. You're coming up to the end of your first term as an elected official in Riviera. You told me personally, and you told some other people, that you weren't going to put your name in a hat to run for Elsie Hasson's spot. You're going to stay here in Riviera and try to win your seat back and then this city better and get it under control with a group of people that you have put together, and I'm one of them. Explain, why wouldn't you want to go to Washington and rather stay here? Your personal opinion to us.
Well, to start off, you mentioned that I was one of your favorite politicians, which I humbly accept and appreciate, and I accept those blessings. But I consider myself more of a servant leader before being a politician. And I believe that I have to serve the people and community that helped raise me. This village that we're in currently needs the support, needs the direction and guidance in regards to totality, financial literacy, home ownership, education, some things that I've trained for the last 15 years how to be proficient in. And that's why I believe that my work is not done yet in the city. We've set term limits. Our community voted it in the election that I came into office to setting term limits. So that time frame gives us the ability to not only just provide that support to our community, to provide that fresh mind, that fresh start to the community for a certain period of time, and then also create succession planning and teach some of the next generation to take over for us. And then that gives me an opportunity to move forward. So serving is really what I want to do for Riviera Beach, and understanding that the city truly needs us now. The races that are going to be coming open, I've seen a lot of great, amazing leaders that want to represent our district. But right now, the most important and impactful person is going to be that policymaker that directly affects the residents on a day-to-day basis. And that's what we need right now. So setting that foundation and getting some additional people trained up to take over for me is the path that I believe that I'm on right now, Mr. Calloway.
Thank you. Okay, now, you are the chair for the feeding of 602 people at Stony Brook on the 22nd of May, which is this
22nd
3 weeks. 1 to 4, we will be feeding 602 people. Now, mostly, you know that they got cousins, grandparents somewhere else, and when you feed free food,
yep,
they'll be there. But yep, anyway, sir, that's already set up. And we, with your guidance and your ability to sign the cook and buy all the food except my water and soda and dessert, I'm working that out. I always have an ace in the hole. Tell me and tell the listening audience, you chose to take that operation when I came to you. I go to everybody and ask, would you chair? I'll put it together. Get it together. Now, why it's important is that one of the days we are signing up kids, that are girls and boys, 13 to 17, for the 10 weeks teenage pregnancy program. Now, one of our co-hosts, who is Mr. White, he's Mr. White when it comes to do this. He's Stevie when I'm just playing around. He is over our tutorial program. He's waiting in the wings to be a part of putting that education program together. Now, one of the things that you told me that the most important thing that we need to do is educate the masses, and most of all, to give them hope. Now, elaborate on that about putting together the teenage pregnancy program and other programs over there at Stony Brook and feeding them and galvanizing the people around them to treat them like regular citizens, not throwaways. Explain that to the public.
The biggest process of serving in the city has been to look at where the majority of our need was. Stony Brook has been a contentious item in our community for a number of years. People believe it shouldn't be there. People believe it should have been torn down. People believe it should have been rebuilt and renovated. Housing crisis has been an issue in the city of Riviera Beach for years, and it has to be addressed immediately. So number one priority was making a safe environment. So once getting into office, that was the immediate process. It got thrown into our lap to say, hey, you have to now deal with the Stony Brook crisis. And it was a crisis because we had individuals living in facilities that were inferior to anything else that they should be in, that almost allowed for them to provide continuous trauma to these families that grew up in these communities because of the type of environment they were living in. So making sure that the city held up to their end of the bargain, because it's private property, so we can only go but so far. But in regards to permitting, in regards to red tagging doors, in regards to making sure that the owners lived up to what they said they were going to do, we worked with them day in and day out to make sure that they brought the facilities up to standard. That was priority number one, because no matter what we do in regards to feeding, financial literacy, education, if their living environment was in the condition that they were in, we will never be able to impact the people the way that they need to be. So we had to change that foundation and that water that they were living in. Pretty much, it was just changing the environment. So getting them into a safe living zone. Next step was now continuing to provide support, whether it's education, financial literacy, programming. Some of my colleagues have created some amazing programs over the years before I came into office to allow for education of the residents there to give them other opportunities, whether it's trade, whether it's GEDs, whether it's AAs, whatever it is to help these residents. And then the support, finally. Continuing to provide support for these residents, because we can uplift, we can grow, we can change the foundation, but they're going to need constant support. And that's where the feeding comes into play, Mr. Calloway. That's where these book bags, these feeding drives, these certain things. But you have to start with the foundational stuff first before we can continue to do this. But it's a need. So on the 22nd, I took on the responsibility of making sure that we can provide that constant support and let our residents know that they're appreciated, that we're here for them, and we're going to do whatever necessary to make sure that they can continue to progress forward. So I'm working with Cheney Brothers now, and they've agreed. Brother Cecil has said they're going to provide a lot of donations for our event, and I'm working with some of the business community as well to say, hey, provide this support to our residents here in this community. These are our voting base. These are individuals that grew up in this community. We have generations of people that live in Stony Brook and that have lived in Stony Brook, so we're going to do whatever we can. And then the educational aspect is just providing as much support as possible, whether it's going to be voters' drives, whether it's going to be teenage pregnancy, whether it's going to be financial literacy. That's where we're going to kind of just impact the generations that are coming through that community.
That's beautiful. I need to take you back to something.
Yes, sir.
Steve White has been doing a fantastic job with our math and our reading and our black history with the middle schools. And we were in a meeting not too long ago. Steve wanted to start something in the elementary school. And we talked about at Stony Brook, there's so many girls got pregnant, 13, 14, 15, 16. By the time they got 18, they had two kids, and someone was still pregnant with another kid. We have to stop that, number one. But most of all, kids who had babies and dropped out, we got to give them a second chance in life. And one of the things that Mr. White, when I put Mr. White, that's very important, that what he's going to do. This is the reason why we wanted you and your colleagues a vote to let the company that wanted to bring the sand in right next door between Stony Brook and Tropical. And one of the things we met with the group who wanted to bring the sand from the Bahamas and have it shipped and have a company right there, that we need them to build us two rooms in their building. They agreed to do that. And with Mr. White, he was going to teach not only the kids, but those dropouts and those adults to get their GED go off to higher learning. One of the things, now bring me up to date, what happened with that? Because you promised to go and find out. Is that tabled?
Well, it's not tabled. It's at a position where this city had such an influx of responsibilities that we took on that we had to literally position ourselves to take on the dilapidated buildings, to take on – well, I'm sorry. We actually started with staffing. So once we came back into the city, we provided staffing. We brought back the city manager that was previously terminated, Mr. Evans. Then he had to go through with staging of staffing of all the different departments. So that process is not tabled. It's just literally on in line to actually be taken up next when we can get through having the proper staff and people to handle the operations of it. So we definitely have to just apply the right departments. And I'm thinking that Felicia over at the drug court and actually Ori are going to be some of the people that are going to take the lead on that from our departments, and Marcia Noel. So those are the ones that I can actually reach out to our staff to say, hey, I need you to work directly with Mr. White and making sure that we have staff, programming, and city support to get things done.
Douglas, the reason why I brought that up, the company, one of the big owners is Tucker Pepper, and he's a personal friend of mine. And I told them that I wouldn't help lobby or have them to come in and just be making another business over here. But they had to give us something back. And they said, what do you want? I said, classrooms, two classrooms. Steve could have the after-school program there with his teachers for the tutorial. And then at nighttime, two or three times a week for our parents in there. That's what it was all about. It wasn't the city that would have to build the two buildings, but now since if the land is there, one day nobody do it. The city might need to put it in there, but they need to have something where, although they're expanding it and they're working on it, but those people are all packed up on each other, and you need to have it's walking distance. They don't even have to go across the road. All they have to do is go east, right behind the east building. That land is right there. The thing that I'm saying this here, for you to keep that on your desk, and when time come up to find out, well, does that the people lost interest or whatever? Find out, because we need those two classrooms.
I think our hurdle that business that you're speaking about ran into was the transition in staffing when we were leaving from our previous development services director to the new one. And honestly, some of the negotiations, I believe Mr. Callaway kind of fell through the crack because we had to restaff a lot of our departments. So with Mr. Sermons, I had a meeting with the same organization, and they were frustrated in some of the processes that they were experiencing because they've been working with the city trying to get implemented. So I know Mr. Sermons is working aggressively on it. They were so fed up that they wanted to not continue the process and negotiations with the city, but with the new council and the new staff that's in place, I think that we were actually able to open up negotiations and discussions to help with expedited permitting, to help with the process of getting them in. And then once they're in, they can provide those community supports and benefits in regards to building facilities and getting certain things done for the organizations and the residents here in our community.
Beautiful. Thank you, because that's what I think I was told. I knew they wanted to pull out. Then I told them, hold on, don't do that.
They definitely, Mr. Callaway, they definitely wanted to pull out. I had a conversation with a few of the directors and presidents, and they were completely fed up. But, again, that was the hurdles we ran into. We literally had to take on a blank canvas and slate. We're coming up on 100-year anniversary of our beautiful community, our beautiful city, but literally we had to kind of start over with new staff because every department head, we were missing probably 14 or 15 department heads, and we had a lot of interns. So now our city manager was able to bring in some qualified individuals and get through those nuances of trying to make sure we were running effectively and efficiently, because we're no good for anybody else unless home is taken care of.
Well, before I have Steve and Ann ask the questions, I need to bring up this here, and it's very important. I met with the mayor 2 days ago, and, of course, I know the city, and you're a part of it. You're putting on Juneteenth, big in June. And I had Terrion Nelson, our music director for the Youth Recreation, and Artie and myself with the mayor. And, of course, we had a meeting with Ann. Ann had another one that she wasn't going to be there with us. How are you handling the Juneteenth? Big time for the city, which up in North Central Florida, that's big up there. We don't mm-hmm. do it well here, but right now it's on the table because one of the nights at the Callaway Complex out at the stage, we're going to have a gospel that I think it'll probably be that Sunday afternoon or Saturday night or something like that with tents and things out there for all the senior citizens. Are you a yeah. part of the of putting that together?
Absolutely. Actually, last year I brought to the council, which passed unanimously 5-0, the Juneteenth resolution to make it honored and recognized as a holiday in the city of Riviera Beach. So that was something that we brought last year to the table, and we allowed for them to be recognized, or allow for this amazing holiday and celebration to be recognized by the city as a day off in our community. So it literally allowed for us to bring the city together, first thing. This year, what we decided is we were going to do festivals to acknowledge. Ms. Shirley Lanier brought to the table a program called for Kwanzaa that actually represented our community. This year, myself and the mayor are putting together the programming for the Juneteenth Weekend Festival, which is acknowledged as a holiday by our city, but also now we have to bring to our community and show them the different activities and events. And we have a lot of surprises for our community coming up.
Beautiful. Okay, Steve?
Okay, can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So, Councilman Lawson, being that we have you on today, you know, there are a lot of things that I could personally talk to you about because I am very passionate about education, for one. But we have a lot of people that's listening, and I wanted you, if you would identify for us what you think are the two greatest challenges facing the city of Riviera Beach, and what is your approach as a council person to attacking or addressing those challenges?
Well, thank you, Mr. White. The first most important challenge is the dilapidated facilities in our community. That is desperately something that has not been addressed for a number of years. We've looked at trying to revitalize, rebuild our community, but if you look over the last 20 years, the only development that we've had in the city of Riviera Beach is the complex Marina Grand, is the marina facilities on 13th, and the Congress Corridor. But if you look to the north and to the south of us in Gardens and West Palm, there's billions and billions of dollars of development happening. We have to address that process, understanding that we have to increase and develop a downtown corridor. We have to make it attractive for developers to want to come in and to not gentrify our communities without displacing our residents. Safe development in our community. So development and process, which also encompasses, which I can dissect even more, where it talks about housing. It talks about economics. It's a program that I've started to implement previously to make sure that residents understand that we need to develop and grow our community. Growing up, we had a bowling alley. We had a drive-in movie theater. We had places for social engagement and families to be able to fellowship. now there's nowhere for on this side of the bridge for a family to sit down and to fellowship with somebody from Federal Gardens or Monroe Heights to say, hey, let's all have dinner together. So we're so segregated mm-hmm. because there's such a lack of development. So addressing some of the development issues and concerns in our community in regards to housing, in regards to development of attracting the business sector, and in regards to creating a downtown corridor. Those are some of the – that's one of our major priorities as a policymaker. There's so many needs in the community, like the increase of crime that we've seen over the last year due to COVID, due to the idle hands of a lot of these children not having things to do. But we have to also provide something for our residents to be able to engage in, to have some social engagement, to address our communities and facilities, build a better – relationship with our Boys and Girls Club, that work with our PAL program, that works with our Parks and Rec, and have some synergy when it comes to those programming. But we have to kind of work. And so there's so many different things, Mr. White. It's hard just to say the top two, but I think as a policymaker, we can address the intensities and densities in certain areas to attract the proper development. We can make sure that we work with our business sector to say, this is what we need. We had an amazing program that just passed in reference to our fire stations that are being built. And that program allowed for them to not only increase the generational wealth of local businesses in the community by using local talent, but also gave direct funding to a nonprofit organization in our community that is going to directly impact the next steps of these kids from teenagers to adulthood. Because these high school and middle school kids are going to be taxpaying residents in the next 3 to 5 years. So we have to really impact them at a basis. So those are the type of things that we can actually demand of our business sector to say, hey, we don't want you just coming in building beautiful boatyards and building certain things. Mr. Former Mayor, Honorable Mayor Michael Brown, he negotiated a deal with Ray Graziato, who developed actually the Marina Grand, where he wanted to only build a boatyard. Mr. Brown, Mayor Brown, said, no, we're not going to do that. I love your idea of a boatyard, but that doesn't help my tax base. That doesn't help my housing crisis. That doesn't help anything in my community. So after months of going back and forth, they came to an agreement to actually develop the Marina Grand, which is one of the newer condos on the water on this side of the island, on this side of the bridge. So those are the things as policymakers that we should be doing to impact our generations of kids and our community.
So, just a really quick follow up, if I could. How optimistic are you, Mr. Lawson, that those challenges are being addressed by the city council? And if not, what can be done to move those projects forward and to address those challenges?
Well, we can only eat an elephant one bite at a time. And that's where it started, with knowing that we've had years and years of years of being behind the eight ball. That's why I've actually decided to run for re-election and continue to serve this community, because I made a commitment to the community. I have no interest in being a lifelong politician. I just have an interest in making an immediate impact as I can. So my focus and my goal is to say, hey, we've put the right staff in place. We have the right team in place. Now we have to execute what we said we're going to do. So continue to create policy that allows for this. I'm currently working, and I actually brought before the council a disparity study. A disparity study allows for us to have local minority SBA women and minority businesses as partners in development that happens in this community, where they have to receive a certain percentage of all development and all money that's spent from our community. And it's not just construction. It's any dollar that our city spends has to have some type of minority, local, and women participation. So those are the type of policies that we have to see through. I cannot just sit by and just implement a direction, because this policy takes 2 to 3 years to be implemented, because you have to have the data, the research that's done. So being that we've just started collecting the data, we have to now follow through with it and make sure the policy is put in place, because they've done it in West Palm Beach. They've completed it on the county level. They've completed it at the school district, and they're requiring minority and local participation. That increases our our tax base. It attracts business, and it also increases the incomes of our residents in the community that can now be gainfully employed and take our median income from 22.5, which is one of the lowest in Palm Beach County, and raise it because now there's local opportunities for them. So if we continue to stay steadfast and focused on the policies that we're implementing, we can see an increase in the way of life that we actually have here in Riviera Beach.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm sure, and I appreciate your vision and seeing how we need to move the city forward. I'm sure Ann McNeil probably has a question for you as well, so I'll defer to her.
Okay, thank you, Mr. White. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I have to properly address you as the Honorable. The Honorable Douglas A. Lawson. Let me tell the world. Can I just tell the world? Do you mind?
Yes.
It sounds like we're going to have story time. Go ahead, Ms. McNeil. Thank you.
Let me tell the world that I have been around the world, but only for you, Councilman, have I really had the opportunity to come back and work in the city. And so I will say that because it has been almost a two-year conversation, and I kept saying, no, 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 no. Giving is one thing, but I think that it's an honor to be able to work, live, and play where you're born and be able to give back and serve. I don't know of any greater honor, and that's why this show was created. And we call it hashtag I am Riviera Beach. And we are asking all of our guests, and we're going to ask you also, if you can think of anybody that you know of that's born and raised in the city that you'd like to see us highlight and spotlight as a part of this program, we would love to. It doesn't matter where they live in the world. Doesn't matter how old they are. Because we want to encourage people to give back, even if you cannot come back. You can give your time, you can give your talent, you can give your treasure from wherever you are. Because for the grace of God go each and every one of us. We will want one of those children from Stony Brook, you know, from Monroe Heights, from all of the different places in the city. And so I just think that it's very honorable for us to, and we're all in position. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, you think about the story of the washerwoman who was not allowed to go to a particular university because she was black, and she saved her pennies, and those pennies turned into millions. And in her legacy, she gave back to black students to go to a university she was not able to go to. It was not dollars. It started as pennies. So I just want to encourage all of our listeners to give back. My question for you, though, is centering around the infrastructure dollars that are coming from Washington, and if the city has a plan to apply for any of those dollars, and how can we help and support the city, the politicians, programs that we can encourage to be created to be in position for the funding. And the reason I'm saying this is because I was to share with Mr. Calloway before the show started that I received a call from the a politician, if you will, from the city of Miami, wanting to know if because they're putting together their own proposal and package for the city of Miami to be in position and poised to get part of the money that's coming from the infrastructure bill. And so my question to you is, what, if anything, is the city doing to position itself? And how can we ensure that this program with Dan Calloway and the association, how can we ensure that we are part of that? And maybe that's something we may be able to do to position this organization to receive funds or maybe even put together an unsolicited proposal to help support the infrastructure funding coming.
Thank you. Miss Amazing Ann McNeil, the master developer. Ma'am, it's an honor to sit on this phone with these three great leaders, and I thank you for the question. I thank you for even considering me to be important enough to sit on this call with you guys and discuss the direction of our city, because you've just shown you've led by example. You literally don't talk about it. You guys have actually done it and executed everything that you said you were going to do. So thank you so much. And what we've done is we've worked with our lobbyists up in Washington. Maurice is one of our lobbyists up there. We work with a lobbyist in Tallahassee. And we've executed programs and plans to say, hey, the American Jobs Act that President Biden is looking to bring down the pipeline is going to be an infrastructure plan that is going to address some of the dilapidated infrastructure in our community. Everyone in our city knows the number one priority for infrastructure is our water. Our water, we cannot be a Flint, Michigan crisis. We're addressing it. We've seen the work and the dollars. We put over $10 million into patchwork with our water plant, but we have to receive funding to actually be able to change and to bring in a new water plant. Because with the development that we discussed earlier, we cannot have additional development without addressing the water in our community. No business is going to want to come into our community and to come into a facility that the water has had fecal matter in it, that's discolored. So we have to address the water plant. That's one of our major infrastructures. Also, our parks and rec. Mr. Callaway has told me for a number of years, the two things that you have to address in your community is your youth and your seniors. So we have to make sure we provide adequate facilities throughout our city that are actually going to be able to attract the talent and actually nourish the talent that we have right here in our community. That's where a lot of these amazing leaders that have come out of the community played right on the field in Wells, on Tate's, Mr. Callaway's honored park. We have those facilities that currently allowed for the development. So what we need to do is have the support of our local business sector, our leaders, because a lot of people come to our meetings and they advocate for certain things on a local level. We need that same support from our business sector and our residents on a state and on a national level at the federal. So we have our lobbyists that we've put in place to allow for them to lobby for us, but we also need to make sure that we're working with the business sector to advocate for these dollars. Our city manager has received a number of funding from all the other municipalities he's worked in, so he's doing an amazing job in putting a team in place. But we have to have direct consultants that work with our federal government and our state government to allow for that money that's going to be trickling down. It's going to be a $2 to $3 trillion bill that's passed by President Biden, and being that he has the support on the Senate and the House, he's going to get a lot of these things pushed through for us. So we have to make sure that we're in place and position to obtain some of this funding and get some things done.
That's beautiful. I need to say this to you. If your colleagues, and I know them all, and I talk to them all, put a little pep in this step and follow your lead because you got the business background. See, one thing about being an elected official, it's no guidelines. All you have to do is be able to pay your filing fee, live in the area for a length of time, and the voters vote you in. But we have to have business-minded people because to grow a community, we got to look at everything. Now, what I need you to elaborate just a moment on it, because you and I talked about this before, who's going to talk to those 30-some Fortune 500 business people? Some on the east side of Broadway, a few, but most of them from the railroad track to 13th Street to Blue Heron, that most people don't even know that those buildings back in there. Fortune 500. When are they going to be able to put something in the pot for the growth of our citizens? I'm asking you that.
Every development, there's something that we can implement as policymakers. I'm currently working on a program, which is arts in public places. That's one policy that I'm trying to implement so that every dollar that comes in to the community has some type of support. As we know, art assists with
with development of our community, beautification of our community, attracting tourists into our community. If you look at most of the projects up and down the coast and throughout Palm Beach County, you'll see that there's artwork, especially down in West Palm Beach, up and down. So you have the murals. Those are certain policies that we can implement. But we also have to make sure that every business and every developer and everybody that comes into our community is also providing support for not just our youth, not just for the development of our community infrastructure, but also for our seniors and programming. So programming has to be a discussion and a priority for everything that we're doing. Our Lindsay Davis Center, we're looking to actually expand those facilities because we've recently moved our YEP over to the new library that's going to actually have a grand opening this year. So what my goal is to present to our council is to expand our Lindsay Davis senior programming so that we can have additional activities for our seniors, because everybody has been affected by this crisis, this COVID pandemic, that this community, that this world has never seen. So once we speak to these businesses, we have to let them know, and we have to implement policy that demands and puts things in place to address the crisis that we have, which is whether it's housing, whether it's programming, whether it's feeding, whether it's educational systems, anything to help increase the quality of life in Riviera Beach. So those policies, Mr. Calloway, is what we have to implement and have a direction, because we can just ask people to do certain things. But if we don't have a policy in place, there's no requirement for them to actually do it. And then if we just tell them, oh, we're not going to approve it, they can sue the city and cost us even more money for our taxpayers. So we have to put policies in place to actually require.
Well, that needs to be done soon. The thing about the senior citizen, the mayor asked to put on something special for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be for all the seniors. We've already signed the contract with Dr. Emma Banks for Inlet Grove. Mm-hmm. On the 11th of December, our Christmas thing for senior citizens. This year, it's musical. Oh, Holy Night, mm-hmm. I named it that, because we're going to have the lady would sing this song, Lean On Me, came from Boynton.
Okay.
I can't think of her name right now.
Okay.
And then Willie Spence, which family was reared up in my mother and father house, right on this avenue. His
yes.
mother called me the other day. Well, he's in the finals this weekend coming. Actually, today.
Mm-hmm. Today.
Access to date. Yeah, no, but anyway, he'll be one of the participants unless something come up where he signed the contract and do something, and I'm not going to get in the way of that because I can have him anytime I want when he's free. We need to up our game. You talked about the arts, the performing arts. We've done well with the athletic department, but when do we bring a lot of our former people who were reared up in the area that in the performing arts. We have to do that. But most of all, the children is our future. But when you get be a senior citizen, and I'm one of those because 83 is right in the middle of being the oldest, we need to have that for the senior citizen, a place they can go and have where they don't have to pay any money. You've given them something back for being good citizens. Now, we just have to do that. And that's going to be a big thing with everybody who's going to be running, because that question has already been put on the board with my group, and we got more people in the Youth Recreation Association than anybody in Palm Beach County, because there's so
mm-hmm.
many kids came up to us. And you've been doing something for 57 years, you accumulate
mm-hmm.
a lot of things. So you continue to do what you're doing, and sometime next week I need to have a few minutes via phone to tell you about my next big thing is to make sure before I die, I'll set up the white on Singers Island in here and the blacks on the west side that we'll be
mm-hmm.
setting at the Brotherhood. That's what God wants us to do. See, we can't keep fighting each other with the racism. We gotta be the beacon of light for the whole world. What we do
mm-hmm.
in Riviera. I think that the greatest thing that's happened in the last 15 or 20 years for my boss lady, which is Ann McNeil, to put this program together and get involved and with a lot of things with us. And she takes her time, as busy as she is, I feel like we can do anything. I got you now with Ann, just the two of you. I'm finished. Ann?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Calloway.
Like you said.
Go ahead.
We can literally do anything. And it all starts with just a plan. It starts with just implementing and activating that plan. To see Ms. Ann McNeil to be a part of a team that's coming to our city that came from this community is exactly what we set out to do. Somebody that we know has the best interest of our city in her heart because she literally lived, breathes, eats, and sleeps Riviera Beach. And now to come into the city and to be able to help with continuing to nourish the next generation to do the same, that's what we have to continue to provide. And we're going to do for our community, and especially for our youth and our seniors. Because our seniors paved the way. They set the foundation, so we can't forget about them. Mm-hmm. And our youth need that direction and that path. So that's what we're going to do on a day-to-day basis, and that's what we're going to continue to show you and everyone else in our city, Mr. Calloway, that we're ready to work. And you know I'm always available. I'll be meeting with you this week to talk about the programming and the process of what needs to be done so we can begin implementing them.
Beautiful. Beautiful. If anybody else got the final remarks?
Yeah, we're going to have Steve go ahead and give his closing remarks, and then we can wrap up. We really, really very appreciative, Mr. Lawson. But, Steve, if you want to go ahead and give your closing remarks, if you're in a position to do so.
Okay, yes. So, first of all, thank you, Councilman, for joining us. And what I want to do is just pledge my support to help you in any way. I appreciate your progressive vision for moving the city forward. We've got to move the city forward. You know, we continue to talk about the potential that exists in Riviera Beach, but the reality is that if we do not take advantage of the potential, then we're going to lose the city. And I think you, as a business person and understanding gentrification and all of that, you know that that's a real possibility. So I just encourage you to continue to move the city forward, and anything that we can do to support you, you know, I pledge my support to help you do that.
Mr. White, I truly appreciate that, sir, and I will be leaning on you because you're one of the people that have invested deep-rooted here in our community, so I'll be leaning on you to just get all the direction and guidance that's necessary to move us forward.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Well,
all right, Mr. Calloway, if you want to wrap us up.
This is a wonderful day, and I'm going to have my meal, and I'm going to get ready for the night. And, of course, all these athletic programs be on there, the golf, the basketball, and I'll be looking at Steph Curry keeping up these 30 or more points a game. I'm still an athlete, so I love this. I just love being a part of the young people, and you all are young to me. You all are just fantastic. And in Black History Month, don't you think I'm not going to have something real big. But the last you will be the co-host for the last week in January when we have Brilliant and Beautiful. It's women who will be honored. And our fierce leader here is one of them. I just can't wait to get up there and give her that plaque and present her. Steve and I'll do that together. Will that be all right with you, Steve?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. You know it.
Yep. Well, that's going to be done. I'm finished.
All right. Anybody else, Doug? You want to say anything else before we wrap the show up?
Ms. McNeil, just thank you, Mr. Calloway, Mr. White. Like I said before, I'm honored to be on the show with you, to be selected to continue to be a trailblazer. I've had Mr. Calloway to my youth, speak to our residents, showcase them, and I want to just continue to capture your knowledge, all three of you, and continue to showcase that in the community. So providing you as resources to letting our next generation know this is how things have been done, how things can be done and how they should be done. So I want us to continue to work together, whatever I needed, wherever I needed to do anything to to improve the quality of life in the city of Riviera Beach. I'm here to do that. And that's why I was, hopefully that's why I was elected and hopefully why I can continue to be elected to serve.
Thank you. Thank you. Just want to thank all of our listeners and our callers and want to encourage everybody, please comment, like, and share the show. And remember, you are sitting in your own acres of diamonds. And wherever you are from in the world, please remember to go back and give back. And hashtag I am Riviera Beach, hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. This is a phenomenal opportunity for all of us to think of people that we know, like, and trust from this awesome city and ask them to come back and give back. All right, everybody, have a good day, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.